Hello, Ed. Welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show right here on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Nate Bucati, joined as always by the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine. Carter, how are you, man?
What's up, Nate? Doing great. Five-star Sporting, top of the West right now. Pretty good weekend, and out here at Children's Mercy Park for a pretty cool event, too.
And you are no doubt buoyed by the dramatic victory by Liverpool.
That was fun.
At Anfield in the Champions League today.
Obviously, I was busy at work, but I did get to catch some of the highlights from the game. And
yes, I'm trying to call you out in front of your boss right now for maybe sneaking a peek at the Liverpool game while you're out here.
I did sneak
working.
A peek, that was, like you said, I am definitely buoyed by that late winner, and it was a great game as well.
Well, those of us who cheer for teams like Arsenal and Celtic have to wait till Thursday to watch our European soccer.
Listen, I went through about 10 years of that, Thursday night bribes, or barbs, I should say.
Yep.
Not bribes, but maybe someday.
Maybe someday they'll be back in the Champions League. It was a great first day of Champions League soccer. We might talk about that a little bit on the show today, but we have much, much more to get to on what is going to be a really special edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. We are live at Children's Mercy Park, which is not typically the case on a Tuesday night when we do the show, but there was a great event here today held by Sporting Kansas City and Ivy Investments, two great partners that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But also we're talking about the team, like you said, Carter, that's in first place in the Western Conference after a weekend that almost could not have gone any better for Sporting Kansas City, from the results across the Western Conference to the result in San Jose, which is obviously the most important. But with FC Dallas settling for a home draw on Saturday, Sporting took the field in San Jose knowing that if they got a victory on the road, they'd be in first place in the West. They didn't just go out and get a victory. They scored five goals on the road for the first time in franchise history since 2000. The only other time it happened, by the way, that team went on to win the Supporters Shield and MLS Cup. So maybe that's a really good sign right there. But what a performance by Sporting KC. And a game that I think we kind of looked at as maybe the type of trap game that in years past maybe would trip Sporting Kansas City up a little bit. They just went out and took care of business.
Yeah, I think that was the most impressive thing. And talking to Peter Vermees today, he said that was what he was most impressed with the team, was going in. It was kind of, he didn't use the word sideshow, but how he described going into this game, that's what kind of came up in my mind. They didn't know who was going to start for San Jose. A desperate coach might throw out some different lineups. They didn't know if they'd try to get some young players looking forward to next season in the game. He said they really didn't have any idea what they would get on the field from that team going into the game. And so you always hear about this team focusing on themselves, but he was impressed, and so was I, that they were able to, like you said, not slip on this banana peel and really take care of a team that on paper you look at this game and you go, that's Sporting 3 points.
Yeah.
But to do it like they did was really super impressive.
Well, the old Hall of Fame football coach Dick Vermeil said one of the keys to being a successful team is to keep losing teams losing. And Sporting never gave San Jose a reason to feel like they had something to play for in the game. I think we were talking about it at the time that the game unfolded. Zero fouls called in the first half of a game. And I wondered while we were doing the play-by-play, myself and Matt Lawrence, am I making too big of a deal out of this? Because I just couldn't remember ever seeing it before. And I felt a little bit better when we found out at halftime that it was, in fact, the first time in MLS history that a first half of a game was played without a single foul being awarded to either team. And look, if you're Sporting and you're winning 3-0, I don't think there's anything to complain about there. Sporting obviously didn't have any reason to be throwing themselves around out there because they were dominating the game. But that had to have been one of the indictments that ended up costing Michael Starr his job, when you're losing 3-0 at home and you don't even put in a tackle that forces the referee into a decision to make.
Certainly. I thought you and Matty talked about it really well on the broadcast, especially Matty saying, hey, when you're 1-0 down, someone needs to get stuck in, let them know that you're there in the game. And when you're 2-0 down, maybe it's time for a yellow card and you know, maybe taking someone out. And so that never happened, and I think you're right. I think that's an indictment on Starr and how he had probably lost the locker room by a long time before that point, that no one would get stuck in. And really, when Sporting scored that first goal, it kind of seemed like they were just done, San Jose.
Yeah.
And you look at the recap on MLSsoccer.com, and the first comment was from a San Jose fan: is the season over yet? Can we skip to the part where everyone gets fired? And that's kind of what it seems like it's been for a couple months now with San Jose, and he got his wish a couple days later with Starr going. But
I bet you a lot of San Jose fans hope that the moves go higher than that.
Yeah, I think they want Jesse Fiorinelli out because
if you hire a coach and you don't even give him an entire year,
yeah, what are you doing?
Then there's got to be questions at least asked about the hiring process in the first place.
And I don't think Starr had a whole lot to do with all the players that were brought in. Maybe a couple here and there, but they've certainly spent.
I think we could probably say the Swedish guys were probably his, but outside, and those guys actually played well.
Yeah, but I mean, they've certainly spent enough money to be much higher in points than they are. I mean, it's a shambles. They have some decent attacking players. I think Huzin's been good since he's come in the league, and he didn't even start this weekend. But
they got three guys that could have 10 goals by the end of the season. Yeah, that's not the problem for them. But enough about San Jose because they are the mess that they are.
Yeah.
But,
like you said, you have to keep losing teams losing. Yeah. And Gerso, I mean, what a performance he had. Not player of the week because Brad Wright Phillips comes out on national TV and does his hat trick, but he certainly could have been up there.
Certainly. 2 goals, 2 assists. Only the third Sporting Kansas City player to accomplish that in a game all time. So it was a great performance by him. The ball by Felipe Gutierrez through to Gerso on the chip was just world-class stuff. It was, and I do think that Sporting has to be given the credit for taking the soul away from San Jose right away. They might have been up for a fight when they started the game. And I talked to Matt Beisler about this on his weekly interview on our morning show this week. He felt like it was the crispest the team has been in terms of midfield passing all season long. And when you're knocking the ball around like Sporting Kansas City are capable of, you can kind of demoralize another team because they're just chasing the ball the whole time. And it certainly seemed like that was part of the deal with San Jose at that point.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like they've been doing that now the past couple games. I think they did that against Orlando as well, just keeping on to the ball. And San Jose got their possession up in the second half, but I think you're right. They really did pass the ball really well in that game. And Felipe Gutierrez and Gerso, they have a nice little connection developing. And I remember in one of the games that Gerso scored here at home was at FC Dallas maybe, where we saw him on the pitch pregame getting hyped up by Felipe, kind of telling him to not be scared to go at guys, take them one-on-one. And I mean, he's been on a tear since then, Gerso has. So I got a chance to talk to him today at practice and ask him about Felipe, and he had just the biggest Gerso smile on his face saying that, you know, he really loves playing with him. Obviously a class player, but he said he really instills confidence in him, and I think you can see that over the past month or so.
Well, I'll tell you what, Peter, this is a great problem to have, but Peter Vermees told you last week when you asked him if there were going to be some tough decisions to make with the starting 11, and he said no. And I say this because every single guy that's getting his opportunity to play right now is proving he deserves time to play. But there's only 11 spots on the field, so that has to be. It's a great problem again, but it's not really a problem. It's an embarrassment of riches right now for Sporting KC, and I think that all those guys are going to be needed as they finish out the 6 games of the schedule. But it has to be pointed out that Sporting Kansas City went out and put up 4-5 goals on the road with what is theoretically their starting attacking trio on the bench because they were all coming back from international duty. And Kyrie Shelton, by the way, who started how many games as the number 9 for this team this year, starting for Swope Park Rangers on the same day because there simply wasn't enough space in the 18 for him. I don't know that there's ever been this much depth of options for Peter Vermees to choose from in his time or maybe in the history of the franchise.
They're so deep. Shout out to the stat man, Sam Cobbs, and he came up with the stat that it's the second time in club history to have 5 players with 5 or more goals and 5 with 5 assists. So 1997 was the only other time that happened. And that's an incredible stat, and that shows that, there's depth on the team, and they've got dangerous guys in just about every area of the pitch.
And more work to be done, though. I think that Sporting Kansas City still are playing for seeding in the Western Conference, possibly seeding when it comes to who would have home field advantage if you get all the way to MLS Cup. I think that's the way you got to be talking right now when you're Sporting Kansas City. A big road game at Philadelphia. Philadelphia's got a gauntlet of games over the next week and a half, and we hope that will play in the favor of Sporting Kansas City as well as they head to Philadelphia on Sunday. We'll preview that game a little bit later, but coming up on the show, as I mentioned, Carter and I are here in the Budweiser Brew House at Children's Mercy Park because today was a special day in which Sporting Kansas City and Ivy Investments teamed up to host a free youth soccer clinic plus financial training for the parents while we were here as well today. It was a fantastic collaborative event, and we're going to talk about it with the president of Sporting Kansas City, Jake Reed, and we're also going to have a representative from Ivy Investments as well to talk about this with us. So we're going to have that segment for you next. Then Elie Sanchez is going to join us on the show to talk about everything Sporting Kansas City related. He was out here working with the kids today in this camp, and he's going to sit down and talk with us, and then we'll preview the Philadelphia Union game for us coming up as well. That's all straight ahead. We're off and running on another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As we are live at Children's Mercy Park in the Budweiser Brewhouse, Nate Bucati and Carter Augustine now joined by a couple of special guests as it was a special event here today. Sporting Kansas City and Ivy Investments teaming up to host a free youth soccer clinic for about 100 local children. In addition to that, with the Sporting Kansas City players giving on-field instruction to the kids, the adults in attendance were hearing key tips on planning for children's higher education goals, a brief seminar from Ivy Investments, including tax advantage education savings plan called 529 plans, which is getting a lot of my money right now these days as well. Here to talk about this entire event, which was a great collaborative effort between Sporting and Ivy Investments, President of Sporting Kansas City, Jake Reed, and from Ivy Investments, Roger Hoadley. Jake, how you doing, man?
Doing great. 5-1 over the weekend, first place, free clinic for kids, not too bad.
Yeah, how about you, Roger? How you doing?
Doing great. Great to be here. I'll tell you what, the event was awesome today. The players did great with the kids. They had a great time, and it was really, really great to see.
Well, I'll start with you, Jake, in terms of the partnership between Sporting Kansas City and Ivy Investments. How did this event come about? You know, how did you guys maybe come up with this idea and put it together?
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking today. This is the sixth year of the relationship, which seems amazing.
It's been a decent 6 years, by the way. I think about four trophies or so.
Yeah, when you come on in 13 and you win cup, that's a pretty good start. feels like the Ivy Investments is just, to me, such an association with our brand and this stadium, because it feels like they came in right when we opened up. And I think, you know, with two local companies, you know, with us and Ivy so ingrained in Kansas City, it's always been the vision to how do we make sure we're giving back? How are we investing not only, you know, off the pitch with what Ivy does, you know, which goes without saying, but, you know, how are we giving back? How are we doing things for the kids? How are we helping develop the youth? And I think for us, this was a natural fit. So it was an easy conversation to have, and it made sense to have the adults come in and learn a little bit about, you know, how they can help fund those kids' college when they're down there learning tips, by the way, from Beasler and Roger and Ilya and Tim. So not a bad group to learn from if you're going to do a clinic.
Well, those guys are pretty good. They have some pretty good expertise on the soccer field. Roger, I'm guessing you had some people with some pretty darn good expertise here talking to the adults about the financial planning as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting if you think about it. And one of the reasons we were so eager to line up with SKC back in 2013 is there's a lot of parallels between being a successful soccer club and a successful investor, if you will. Think about discipline, about looking for opportunity, about long-term focus. You know, we like to say together, both us and Sporting, that performance counts in everything we do, right? And so you think about those things, and while the kids were learning those skills on the field, we were translating those skills to the parents, you know, just upstairs on the executive suite level, talking about those very things. And if they want their kids to be successful, whether they're going to play soccer in college or maybe they're going to play pro soccer somewhere, who knows, or any other kind of education, any kind of higher education, they're going to need to plan to get there. And so it was a good venue to tie those two things together, and you know, the parents got a lot of good ideas about how they might try to pursue that goal.
Wow, you just planted a seed in my mind when you drew this parallel. Last year, Peter Vermees did something that hurt in the short term in trading away Dom Dwyer, but it was an investment in the future of the franchise by acquiring all these assets. They were able to go out and sign all these different players, and now Sporting Kansas City are in first place. They're on pace to break the record for goals scored in a season because of an investment that they made that maybe hurt a little bit at the time. That's kind of what you're talking to these parents about, right? Like, you got to it hurts a little bit to take out that money every month for your kid's education, but it's going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. Those types of things called 529 plans that you mentioned, you can get into them with a small amount initial investment, and then a monthly investment of, let's say, $50 or in some cases $25, that you just do that regular investment. Over time, that builds up. And if you start when your kid is, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, that builds up over the course of their life. But it's, you know, it's never really too late to start. The idea here is have a plan. You know, try to think about what you want to do and what those goals are. Just like on the soccer pitch, you're going to think about what's going to transpire before it does, and that's kind of the key here.
Which, by the way, speaking of parallels, unlike the Cleveland Browns locker room on Hard Knocks, these guys actually know what compounding means. They can actually turn that into real money.
That's right.
So, sorry, the Cleveland guy, I mean, couldn't let that one go.
Well, yeah. Now I'm forgetting his name, the defensive end. He didn't end up making the team, but he was telling you if you just, like, invested $10, you know, in 10 years, it'd be $1 million.
Yeah,
something like that. It'd be fine. But you guys are actually giving real advice. And the partnership, as you mentioned, has been a great one. You got to love the uniforms, right? Like, have seeing Ivy Investments on that shirt. Jake's wearing, it's radio, so people can't see it. Jake, you're wearing the secondary kit, the all-black kit this year. That's got to make you happy, right, seeing that? Doesn't it look great?
Yeah, I tell you what, it wasn't lost on us that that representation, and it's not only, you know, it's locally, regionally, nationally, but also increasingly global in scope. So wherever they go, our name is there. It not only illustrates the partnership, but, you know, Ivy is increasingly not only a national but a global brand, and that ties us together even more strongly when you see that relationship every time they play.
You guys ought to be killing it in Malaysia right now, because like every time Juan Kuzain does anything, you get like 12 million hits from Malaysia on things. So see, you're getting the exposure all over.
Big in emerging markets.
Yeah, that's great. Well, how did the event go? I mean, tell me a little bit about it. Jake, you were out there with the guys. How did those players that we've got are always great with the kids?
Yeah, first of all, I always give credit to the players. I think you look at the day they've had today with training and everything else and coming off the weekend and getting ready for next week, and they're out here at 7 o'clock just having a blast with the kids. And I think those are memories that those kids are going to remember forever, right? And I think to be out there and see the smiles on their faces is always a blast for me. And it's just, I think it drives it home of, at the end of the day, this is what we do, right? We're about the community, giving back, making sure that, you know, we can kind of set this up for the next generation. So it was a blast. We had a bunch of stations. Matt Beisler was maybe my favorite station. He wasn't doing any soccer skills. He was sitting answering questions. The first question from every kid was always, how much money do you make? To Matt, which his answer was,
see, finance. I mean, we're talking finance.
Which his answer was more than you. So, yeah. I mean, but all kidding aside, Matt had a blast with them. Tim was in goal, you know, kind of giving some tips and letting them take PKs. Then you had Roger and Ilya kind of doing some different clinics around the side. But it was a great time. And like I said, I think at the end of the day, Roger and I were both talking about, you know, the kids are going to leave. They're going to be talking about the whole way home with their parents. And ultimately, that's really what it's about.
Roger, what about you? How'd you enjoy the day today out here?
Oh, it was perfect. It was it really lined up well. You know, we had this idea, and the way it came together was really amazing. And I got to thank the players and the coaches out there for really making the kids feel at home. And you know, we had an Ivy representative up there giving the presentation, and he basically touched on this thing called the Ivy Invested 529 plan, which is the 529 plan we offer. Of course, there's different ones that you can get, but I would encourage any of the listeners or the parents today to talk to their financial advisor about how to access that kind of information and put it into their plan. But that notwithstanding, the parents really enjoyed it. They got photos with the kids on the field and a lot of great video, and it was really a fun time.
Tell you what, every time I look at the rising cost of college,
right there with you.
The more I'm glad that I'm putting money into that 529 right now, right?
Yeah, I
mean, yeah, it's only going to help. You know, even if you never know where your kid's headed, right? But you want to make sure that when they decide what they want to do, that you're prepared to help them get there. And that could be a private college, that could be a university, that could be a state university, right? Or that could be junior college, who knows? And any kind of higher education is going to, you know, cost maybe more than you think as time goes by. So
yeah, even something. The state schools are a lot more than they were just when I went to school.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, how can people get in touch, you know, if they want to find out more information about this?
Yeah, go to ivyinvestments.com. That's the place where you can find information about any kind of investment products. And if you have a plan or if you don't, I think the first place to start for individuals is your financial advisor. We work with a lot of different advisors from different firms around the country. And if you have an advisor, ask them. If you don't, there are different firms you can talk to. We had some representatives from Waddell & Reed Financial Advisors there today giving some guidance to some of the people and answering some questions. So, you know, it's best to make it a part of your overall financial plan. I'd say check with your financial advisor. And if you want some sort of basic information, go to ivyinvestments.com.
Awesome. Roger, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations on a big event today.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You too, Jake. Thank you, and congratulations.
No problem. Thanks, fellas.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Ilya Sanchez is going to join us. He's going to tell us about the clinic as well and the red-hot Sporting Kansas City team that's atop the Western Conference. As we take a break, this is the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues right here on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Buchetti rejoined by the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine. And we are joined now here in the Budweiser Brewhouse by the one and only Elie Sanchez. Did you ever have a nickname, Elie, something that your teammates called you or anything like that?
I mean, I thought that El Jefe would be me, not Cartel.
Right, right. So
the real Jefe over here.
It's a joke. Now, you know, my name is pretty weird, so it's enough as a nickname.
Is your full name, I've never asked you this, is your full name Elie?
Yes.
Is that a family name or is there a history behind it?
I would say that my parents, that they chose this name. I mean, my brother is called Yuri.
Okay.
Both names are from the east of Europe. And in particular, my name, my mom loved a writer that she loved his books, and he was named Elie. So
the author's name was Elie?
Yes.
What's his full name? Was it...
I don't know.
You don't know?
I just know.
Have you ever read any of these books?
No. actually, there is a movie also with one agent that is called Elie, and I just watched the movie instead of reading the book. But I also know that my parents were looking for a short name and that no one could make a nickname. So,
pretty smart. So you said they were Eastern European names. Are your parents are originally from Spain, though, right? They don't have any...
Everyone in my family, we're from Barcelona.
So,
no, there is no story more than that behind my name.
It's good. It's interesting, though, because I'd always wondered. Yeah. I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard your name before. It's a good name. So we have you here. You just did the clinic with the people from Ivy Investments and Sporting Kansas City putting on this free youth soccer clinic today. You're running around with the kids out there. How did it go?
That was fun.
Yeah.
Fun and funny, you know.
Yeah.
Those ages, kids just want to learn, just want to have fun, and they are funny. So I was one more kid out there, and I just tried to have a good time.
Did you ever go to stuff like that growing up with Barcelona or maybe some of your local clubs or around the city?
The thing is that we used to train 3 afternoons a week and also games on the weekends. So we did not have much time to do this kind of clinics. But, I mean, it would have been a really good experience for me and for my brother at that age.
I can tell that it's a big deal to you to make sure that you get out there when you have the opportunity to play with kids. You volunteered to come to watch my kids practice one day and talk to the kids, and they still talk about that to this day. Why is that? Why did you decide this is something you want to make sure you do?
I was talking to Patrick right before coming here, and sometimes you just see yourself in one of those kids. So. When that happened, you just want to make sure that he's comfortable with you and he's just having fun and being himself or herself around you. So that's the most the greatest experience that we have and we had, for example, tonight here.
Did you get any investment tips as well while you're here?
Not yet. Yeah, okay. I was the last one on the pitch, so I did not have enough time.
I was going to say, we haven't talked to you since you signed your new contract.
Yeah.
So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then, you know, secondly, there may be some investment opportunities moving forward as well. Huh?
I will talk to to our owners.
So what? Talk to us maybe about that extension, and you know, what was your thinking in signing a long term contract with Sporting KC?
It was. Long, but at the same time, it was easy. One of the easiest steps to do in my career because I just feel that I found everything to do my profession 100% here. And what makes Sporting KC special is also this kind of clinic that we had tonight. The community around the team and the philosophy and the culture that we have as a club, not just on the field, that is so, so important, but also off the field.
I mean, it just seems like the fit, who you are, how you play, what you value, and what this team brings to the table. It just seemed like it was perfect right away, and that doesn't always happen. Sometimes a player goes to a new team, and he might have ideas about how he thinks it's going to work out, but it just doesn't fit. It seemed like this one, you and the team, they just, you guys fit perfectly from day one.
I think it's because they have been doing and they have been having this philosophy for many, many years, and maybe they just were looking for a little piece of the puzzle to fit on them. And I knew when they called me for first time, Peter and Kerry, that they knew what they were talking about their team, about their club, but also about me as a player. So sometimes it could be difficult to fit in a team, but I think that it was easy for me because I just had to be myself and to work hard on the field.
So on the field, it's been a fit. What about, obviously, off the field is a lot of your life as well. What have you come to know about Kansas City in this year and a half that you've been here now?
It's a great city. I discovered a lot of places. I found here a really good city, green city. Everywhere you have a tree, you're driving around highways and you just see green trees, and that makes you happy. Good weather. Good places to go, good conditions to live, but what makes special Kansas City is the people. People here is so friendly. I have never heard any bad word to me or to the team, and that helps a lot to do your job, like with 100% of motivation, and also to live here. My mom is here with me, actually. My dad was here 2 months ago. And they know that I'm fine here, that I'm happy here. So they just have to come to visit me to know and to feel that this is a really good city for me to live.
We just got to get that airport renovated so you get a direct flight, you know.
Maybe for the World Cup, no?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. There you go. We'll get it here. We've got Ilya here with us at the Budweiser Brewhouse at Children's Mercy Park. Let's talk about your last game, 5-1. Over San Jose. You guys just took care of business right off the bat. And I was talking with Matt Beisler earlier today. He felt like it was the crispest passing, especially in the midfield, that he's seen from the team all year long. Did you feel that way? And why do you think that was, if you do feel that way?
First of all, we can and we have to do it better. The performance was a great performance. Also, Bees helped the team a lot with his personality around the ball. But, you know, everybody was ready to play. Everybody was with the same energy and intensity. And we were all focused on the ball and to keep the ball, to pass the ball, and to create danger with the ball. So that was the main thing for us, and it's what we did. San Jose, they didn't have any response to our game, but still we can do it better, and we have to do it better, and that's why we have 6 weeks in front of us to keep working and to get into the playoff with our best level.
Ed, speaking of maintaining that level and going into this game against San Jose, I'm curious, is it tough to maintain that level against a team that is at the, they're already eliminated from the playoffs on paper? There's a lot of people saying, hey, Sporting should go in and walk this game. Is it tough to maintain that level in a game against a team already eliminated like that?
We have seen against Orlando, against San Jose, in my opinion, right now, when a team don't have a clear goal as a team, they become a really dangerous team. And I want to explain that because all of their players, they are playing for a position on that team or anywhere for the next season. and they want to show themselves maybe as an individual. The good thing that we did in both games, but especially in San Jose, we played as a team. So when you play as an individual and you have in front a strong team, you don't have anything to do. And it's what happened. But if we would have played with the same, trying to do individual actions, not playing as a team, we would have had really real problems for that game. So we understood that before the game, and we did it, and I'm so happy for that.
Have you ever been a part of a game where there was no fouls called for a half?
I'm sure that if you go back to this Guardiola team in Barca, you will find not many, but one of or two games where no one did a fault. I was not in any game like that, but also says that we keep the ball, we kept the ball, and we had the control of the game, and they did not have any response, not even making falls. So
right.
When you talk about playing as a team, this is a team that seems to be really well balanced this year. You got five guys with five or more goals. You have five guys with five or more assists. Do you feel like this team is that much deeper than at this point last season when you were here for your first year?
Yes. I mean, not just because the statistics, also because the feelings. I think that we had a really good team last year. We played really good games. But I think that the atmosphere and the feelings this year are a little bit more confident. So we struggled. I think it was in July with five or six games that we could not get the result. But everybody knew at that time that we were coming. And we are doing it, and I hope that we can hold it for the rest of the season.
This next game is another opportunity to get a win on the road. It's a good team, Philadelphia. They look like a playoff team in the East right now. But they're in a difficult spot because they have a game tomorrow night in Seattle. They got to fly all the way back to Philadelphia to play you guys on Sunday. And then just a couple of days later, the next Wednesday, they've got to fly to Houston for what could be the biggest game on their schedule, which is the Open Cup Final. When you prepare for a team that's in a circumstance like that, is it difficult to know what they're going to bring? Kind of like what you said with San Jose in a different form, but you said with San Jose, we didn't really know who they would play and what style they would play. Is that a challenge too, getting ready for this Philadelphia team?
We don't care. We don't care at all. We expect and they will be the best Philadelphia on Sunday. The same that we expected the best San Jose on Saturday. That's our job. That's all what we can control. So we know about their situation. We know about they are playing for getting to the playoff. They are not safe.
Right.
But they are also playing for a big cup that we know how big it is because we love Open Cup. So we know that, but we cannot stop any second to think about it. They will be ready, and we will have to be ready for that.
It's going to be a good one on Sunday at noon. We'll have the game right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the final whistle following as well. You guys have been so good on the road this year. You've scored more goals than the last 2 years combined on the road. You've won more games than the last 2 years on the road combined. Why do you think you guys have been able to get so many victories and do so well away
from
home?
That's easy. The easiest question tonight.
Okay. But
you know John Farrell, our manager.
Yeah.
He made the best trips for us.
Okay.
He and his people get ready the best flights and the best hotels to be in.
That's
the key for the success.
On one hand, that's a high compliment for John Farrell.
John
on the other,
Farrell.
Man, Rick. Ooh, that's a Rick Dressel.
No,
are you listening?
No, I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about this year. And I'm sure that Rick take part of also setting all everything.
He taught John everything he knows,
everything
right?
He knows.
So it's a wonderful.
John is his kid.
That's right.
Rick is the boss. So
John's a decent player as well. You played with him.
Okay, I don't know if he say to you this before, but he got his first game as a player in the college. And when he came in, his first touch was an unbelievable goal. And he did not score for the rest of, not just of the year, of all of the seasons in college. So now he's a really good player. Yeah. I know it, and I always challenge him to show me his skills. That's a reality. That's true.
I don't want to brag, Ilya, but I just want to put this out there for the record that my over 30 league team played against Sammy and Farrell's over 30 league team a couple of weeks ago. We won 5-2.
Wow.
And I had an assist with my left foot.
How about yes.
That's right.
That's
take
my
that,
fault.
Farrell.
Any little sliver to get his men's league team into this show,
there.
Ilya, he's going to slide in there.
Oh,
so
exactly.
I'm sorry for that.
I mean, whenever you beat Sammy's team, I'm happy. I'm so happy.
You got it. You got to talk about it.
He cannot talk the next day in
that's
training.
Right.
So.
That's right. Hey, Ilya, we thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. Congratulations on everything. And we can't wait for these last six games and then into the playoffs because it just seems like something special is happening right now. So go get it done.
Thank you, Nate. And going just real quick, serious in your question, we're being good on the road because I think that the mentality is the same. Obviously, we have the support of our fans at home, and that helped a lot to us. But when we go on the road, we know that they are there, but we also are ready and prepared mentally to go to those games.
It's why it's fun to watch you guys. Some teams go on the road, and they just try to pack it in. You guys go play, and it's fun to watch. So go
thank
get them
you.
On Sunday.
Did you see Barcelona today?
Oh yeah, we didn't ask you.
I was in practice.
In training, kick.
Yeah, we were doing some treatments after practice, and I watched just the highlights. I mean, what we can say about the number 10?
He's
right?
Okay.
He's a little player.
The best.
He's a Liverpool fan, so he's over the moon.
He's
today.
Happy. Yeah,
as Patty too. Yep.
I have to wait till Thursday to watch.
I have
Arsenal
to say that. Maybe this is not right to say, but it's always good when PSG lost. I don't know why.
Because they took your guy, that's why.
I don't know why, but yeah. They are powerful, economic, and
yeah.
You know, I like to see more on the field than off the field, but yeah. They have a really good players and a really good team, for sure.
The Champions League is going to be fun again this year. Ilya Sanchez has been our guest. We're going to take a break. We'll come back to wrap things up. We'll talk a little bit about this game against Philadelphia coming up on Sunday with our final segment of the Sporting Kansas City show right after this. Our thanks to Sporting Kansas City President Jake Reed, Roger Hoadley from Ivy Investments, and Ilya Sanchez for joining us on the show today. The real El Jefe, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's trying to take that name from you.
I think if he wants it, it's his.
You don't want it.
Listen, that's true, first of all. Second of all, the way he's been picking up loose change in midfield over the past couple of games, I think if he wants that, it's all his.
He is kind of the chief of the midfield for Sporting Kansas City. As we now look ahead for SKC, now before Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Union, again, that's a noon kickoff, and you can hear it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got some midweek action tomorrow night. How do we feel about the Campeones Cup as TFC take on Tigres tomorrow night at 7:15? The game's on ESPN2.
I feel nothing for it now, but I think it's a cool idea for the future.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this one, they just announced it, you know, about a month ago or so.
Yeah.
So it's kind of meh on this year, but now that you know that's in the future, I think it'll be a fun little intra-country rivalry.
It kind of feels like, to me, aren't we already doing this with the Champions League?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of
there's
how I felt.
A little bit of that.
Especially because Toronto actually did make it to the final of the Champions League. There was a North American, there was a, you know, MLS team versus a Liga MX team in the final.
It seems like it'll almost always be two teams from those two respective leagues moving forward as well.
Right. So, but, you know, it's talking to people that that follow it in Mexico, this is important to them. They want to make sure they win it and kind of keep little MLS in their place, so to speak. And we'll see if TFC, who have had a really bad season since that run in the Champions League, I mean, it gives them something to play for.
Yeah, I guess, because, wow, yeah, you're right. What unbelievable season. I honestly, at the beginning of the year, I think a lot of people did, just was looking at the other five spots in the East of who's going to make the playoffs, and I just penned Toronto right in. So, yeah, this may be, I guess, maybe something to salvage their season. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they still have a chance to make it into the playoffs, but it's going to be really tough. They did get a big win over the weekend against the LA Galaxy, which was a heck of a game to watch.
They're averaging a point a game, though,
yes.
Just over. That's
look, they've
incredible.
Been wrecked by injuries, yeah. And then they just haven't been able to put it all back together. I think there's the fatigue. We saw Sporting Kansas City go through it the year after they won MLS Cup to deal with that fatigue. And then you add the Champions League, the deep run they made on top of that. I think it was just a lot to overcome for them. But I guess that also should point out to us how remarkable it is what Seattle's doing right now.
Yep.
Because they've been in the final each of the last 2 years. They've had their typical slow start. They've won 9 in a row now. They play at home against the Philadelphia Union at 10 o'clock Central Time tomorrow night. Then the Union got to fly back to Philadelphia, and that's when Sporting Kansas City play them. And I think that Elie says all the right things, and I think Sporting Kansas City have proven right now they're not taking anybody lightly. But when you look at this as a neutral, you have to say this should be another opportunity at least for Sporting Kansas City to go get 3 points on the road.
Yeah, I think just with them playing on Sunday, Houston playing on Saturday, I think it's an almost certainty that they'll play a B lineup. We'll see a lot of Beth Steele players in that game because you remember, and Peter Vermees reminded me of this today, but obviously Sporting did the same when they were in the Open Cup final a couple of years ago, and especially having to play on the Sunday with the Wednesday, and including that game that they have to play tomorrow, I just feel like, yeah, they're going to – you would think the ideal situation for Sporting fans is they play their full strength tomorrow.
Right.
Play a B team on Sunday, and then they play that full strength back again in Houston in the Open Cup final. So, yeah, it's a huge opportunity, again, just considering the circumstances of the game. But this is a Sporting team that would fancy themselves against a full strength Philadelphia side as well.
Right. I mean, I think that's been, as Elie said, that's been their mentality on the road, regardless of the circumstances. Lest we tell you that you don't even need to worry about Philadelphia, I would point out that we know these teams can be dangerous because those Bethlehem Steel guys, that's their chance. That's their chance to show the manager why they deserve more time, why they deserve a shout on the first team. And it's also a little harder to prepare for them. You might not know those players and their tendencies as well. And we've also seen those have been the types of teams, if they go defensively, can cause frustration. This Sporting team has been so good in the attack that they've been able to break those teams down anyway. We will see on Sunday at noon when Sporting take on Philadelphia right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Carter, thanks a lot for the time, man. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, just should be a good one this weekend.
Shout out to Charlie for running the show today as well. We'll see you next week right here on the Sporting Kansas City Show.